It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The show is brought to you each and every week by Trax Power Sports Rentals and by Bear River Lodge. We're going to be checking in with Roger Eggert in the next half hour and look forward to finding out what's going on up there. He's been busy putting new cabins online, getting ready for the summer season, and they've got a big track ride coming up a week away, which I'm sure we'll talk more about. Anyway, Tim Hughes, letting you know again that we are recording this program on Thursday for Air As Live here Saturday morning, and we're glad you're listening in the studios of KSL News Radio in downtown Salt Lake City. And Nav Adamskis is back with us this morning from the Kaysville compound up there, actually off on a lunch break, I'm sure, from school, which is winding down here. How many weeks left?
Two.
Just two?
2 weeks, correct.
Wow.
Getting ready for the finals coming up. This graduation is the Friday before Memorial Day.
This originally was going to be end date for you on retirement, but I guess you're going to stretch that a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna work the fall semester. It's kind of hard to replace teachers nowadays. Yeah. There's nobody that can teach government. So I'm a history teacher, but I also teach the government classes. And so anyway, they'll have somebody hopefully by January, and then I will be done forever.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else that's hard to replace is a shoulder replacement, which we just had a conversation about. Man, I am hurt.
Yeah, there's no hip radio show here. My health is always on display.
Well, there's always something to talk about, which is not a good sign. But you started having troubles with a shoulder that you had replaced, and now you know why.
Right. It's coming apart, it appears.
Yikes.
Right.
You know, we've got a bike ride planned in Europe in about 2 months.
Right. I mean, I have a lot planned, but yeah, none of it's good.
Mm. Well, keep us posted on that. Sorry that you're hurting, but at least you know what's going on now and what the options are. So hopefully there is a fix to that. Russ is under the weather again this week, so we thought we'd bring in Bob Grove just a little bit early, who is just back from a road trip. Your first guide trip of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a planned one. I filled in. I'm cutting back on guiding for the time being because Mark and I are so busy with our consulting business, but able to get out on a 5-day Mighty Five tour, and I'll just let you know that I did scrape my knee hiking.
Oh, you did? So yeah. That's the extent of your injuries this week? Nothing needs to be replaced or screwed back in? Or
yeah, I was doing that, you know, maybe help Nobby out a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't think it's working.
Yeah. Well, there was a joke in there somewhere when Nobby said that the screws were coming loose, but we've known his screws were loose for a long time.
I was just waiting for you to bring that up.
Just didn't know it was going to be a shoulder thing. Hey, before we get into what we're talking about this week, Nobby, congratulations on having another engineer in the family. The graduation happened last week?
Yeah, actually, it was a week ago tomorrow. Yeah, Finn got himself an engineering degree from the University of Utah.
That's great.
Yeah, so he's set. Both of my boys are set. Both of them have engineering degrees. One has a master's, and they already make more than their dad.
Yeah. And they're both going to walk away from their engineer jobs and be fly fishing guides. That's my prediction for their future. Because now they're
smarter than me.
Now they're figuring out what it's like to work 40 hours a week, and they're saying, this sucks. I'm going to go back to fishing at some point. But congratulations. It was fun to see the pictures, and it's well-deserved. Although the missing tooth was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I sent a text to Gail. I said, yeah, he fought hard for that degree. Anybody that listens to the show know that he had a little mishap a couple of weeks ago and lost a tooth that hasn't been replaced yet.
He looks like one of your MMA guys now.
I know.
Yeah, you know, I paid a lot for those teeth, that braces and everything. They were beautiful. I used to brag about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not really good on a bike. He said they wouldn't let me take a skis or I'd have been fine.
That's great stuff. Hey, you're going to help us out with fish bites in the next half hour, so we'll look forward to that. I don't know if you've already got something planned.
I do, of course. We had our third trip with the float tube class, so I'm going to talk about last week's fishing adventure.
Oh, good.
And then we got one more this weekend, and you'll learn about that in the following week.
Okay. Speaking of fishing, there was a note from the Division of Wildlife Resources, great picture, too, of a gigantic fish, but they just recently completed a gillnet survey at Panguitch Lake as spring fish, sport fish surveys continue around the state. Rainbow trout numbers, they said, look strong. They're 12 to 15-inch range, as well as tiger trout 16 to 20, including a few trophy tigers nearing 30 inches and 10 pounds. Which may be the one that's shown in the picture here to go along with the statistics. But cutthroat trout numbers were slightly down, the average about 15 inches. 10 Utah chubs were found in the nets, only the second time in the last 15 years they've been observed down there. And you might remember the lake at Panguitch was treated back in 2006 to remove the chubs. So I'm sure they're a little concerned about the chub showing back up, but I guess that just happens over time. How does it happen?
Well, they're there, okay? And look, you know, I'm not a proponent of the killing the lakes. You know, if you want to control the chub population, you introduce more tiger trout. That's all you need. And by the way, more fish is good for everybody. So yeah, that's what I believe. I mean, if you want to look at the sagas of strawberry, it's like redo things over again. What you do, you know, that's why they put the cuts. That's a Bear Lake cut, by the way, they put into strawberry. And then the tigers are dying off. I mean, there's not as many. There was a contest a couple weeks back at Panguitch, and the winning fish were mediocre in my mind. I was surprised. Look, Panguitch is pretty notorious for having some large fish taken, and we'd be there in our float tube class if it was a 4.5-hour drive. But, yeah, it's a great fishery, and that water is really prolific. It supports really great trout. It's one of the rock star lakes of our state.
Yeah.
And chub in there isn't the end of the world. That's why those fish are so healthy, and because that's the forage fish. So killing it and starting over again is not my idea. I think you just introduce a few more fish, and they actually consume that, and that more fish is good for. And they put the tigers in there because they have a 5-year life expectancy. They're not going to get away and overrun the rainbows.
Yeah, they're not talking about another treatment. I just threw out there that it had been done in 2006. Bob, do you know?
I was going to say you guys know what Panguitch means, right? In Southern Paiute.
I don't. No. I don't.
It means big fish.
Ah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's a great fishery. It's just so far from me. I mean, I want to go there all the time, but 4.5 hours each way, I could be to Canada.
Yeah.
In 4.5 hours.
Yeah. Where are we going road tripping this week, Bob?
Mark and I are going to talk a little bit about the Mighty Five. You know, I just got back from that tour, and I'm going to give you an update of what I experienced, you know, some changes that are going on in a couple of the parks.
Oh, reservations, kind of, right.
Yeah, kind of fill you in with what my experience was and kind of, you know, get a little forecast of what we expect this summer.
Okay, good. And by the way, we're also going to be talking with Darren DeBlois from the Division of Wildlife Resources. He is the mammals coordinator for the DWR on cougar encounters. We have this conversation on a regular basis just before we go into spring and summer. And always, I think, freak people out a little bit that you probably have been around cougars you didn't even know. They were quietly watching you while you were hiking or mountain biking in your favorite spot. But we'll tell you ways to protect yourself and that they're not really looking for you. They've got other things they're interested in. But the fact is they are probably and no doubt have been in areas where you've been recreating and you didn't even know it as their populations grow here in the state. Going to take a break, guys, but we were talking about big fish a minute ago. And are you kidding with me that Panguitch means that? Did I bite on something or is that a fact?
That's a fact.
All right.
Big fish.
Learn something every day. I put a picture of a big fish from Strawberry. This was dated May 9th, and they said caught on a fly, then released a weekend ago. So this would have been the weekend before. Well, May 9th was what? Sunday? Weekend before. Anyway, the fish, 28 inches, 18.5-inch girth. That's a good fish, Navinomskis.
Right. You haven't told us what kind of fish it was.
It looks like a cut to me.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I really would bet it would be a cut.
It is a beautiful fish. If you want to see it, you can go
and
to
it's
a...
it's still there because that angler put it back.
Yep. And so congratulations to the angler, not named here, but if you want to see a picture of the fish, go to our Facebook page, KSL Outdoors Radio. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will have some news of the week for you here on KSL. Stay with us.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim Hughes along with Bob Grove and Mike Navinomskis. Navi is back with us for another week. Got a couple of notes, news of the week I wanted to pass along here. And since we were talking so much fishing in that first segment, I just wanted to pass this along, Navi, and pick your brain a little bit about a kayak fishing clinic that is coming up at East Canyon State Park Saturday, June 11th. You can put it on your calendar. They'll be doing it 9 to noon. What do you need to know if you're going to fish from a kayak? I mean, I have a hard time keeping those things upright when I'm not doing anything but trying to, you know, row my way through the water.
Well, it's a new product. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know this story, but the new the fishing kayaks are paddles. You do your feet like a bicycle.
Ah.
And they have two paddles underneath, and they maneuver around. It's a thing now in the ocean. So regular Joes can take their boat out to the beach and then head out past the surf and paddle around and literally catch shark and marlin and everything from their kayak. They're pretty stable, and they have their hands free because they pedal back and forth on these paddlers.
Ah.
So I'm guessing, I don't know the story you're going to tell me, but I'm thinking it's one of these new paddle kayaks, which is a real fishing trend in the ocean, and they're trying to sell them to the interior. Honestly, we use float tubes, and we have fins on our feet.
Well,
so that's how we motate across the lake, and the, you know, the kayak thing's a very different kind of a strategy, which I've never done, but I've seen some pretty good YouTube videos of people catching monster fish from a kayak in the ocean.
It doesn't look like they are designating any particular kind of kayak, but if somebody has one of those, they can bring it along. But
well,
it's...
I'm pretty sure this is sponsored by a promoter, like a salesperson, who wants to make this a thing so they can sell kayaks.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But it's East Canyon State Park, Saturday, June 11th, 9 to noon, and it's $20. The fishing clinic is free, but there's a $20 day use charge to participate. So if you want to go up there, do that. Also wanted to let people know about a women in particular, a women's shooting sport clinic that is coming up in Blanding, Utah, on Friday, June 3rd and 4th. The Division of Wildlife has more information on that if you want to put a couple of things on the calendar. One of the stories I wanted to really touch on today, and boy, it's got a lot of people freaked out, and I think rightfully so, is this avian flu that is going around. And they knew they had it in confirmed in domestic birds in Utah last month, but the first case of the virus in a wild bird was confirmed after a dead great horned owl tested positive. And so it's raised a lot of concerns. Some places in the world, if you've been following this story at all, guys, chickens, for instance, will get it, and they have to wipe out an entire flock of chickens, which has put a real bind on supply chain problems that were already there for things like eggs down the line. But now that it's in the wild bird population, who knows what's going to happen here? And I don't know that there's any good way of controlling it, Navi.
No, it's a terrible thing. And those birds are going to fall right off the wire onto your head dead. That's just how it happens. They just drop dead. It's a terrible thing, and as it goes through. And honestly, most of these are started in domestic populations and spread to the wild. to the wildlife, and it's going to have a devastating effect. Let's hope we get through it quickly.
Yeah, they've had a confirmed case, I guess, of it. Actually, they said it's low risk to people, but they've had a confirmed case in at least one person in Colorado during this most recent outbreak, and the CDC has put some information on their website to follow it. But in talking about that, I don't know if you've heard much about this down in southern Utah, Bob, have you?
Not much. I mean, of course, I've been gone for the last couple of weeks, but I haven't heard a lot about it.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, are there signs or symptoms that you see prior to them falling out of the sky?
Well, that's one of the problems is that there are typically few symptoms in waterfowl and shorebirds, but the virus can kill raptors and scavengers quickly. It spread among birds through, they say, nasal and oral discharge as well as some fecal droppings. But by the time they show any signs of being sick, it's way too late. And in a wild population of any species, it would be just impossible to follow it back upstream and do anything about it. Interestingly enough, though, and I didn't know this, but typically they said songbirds are not affected by the avian flu. I wonder why that would be.
Well, it has a lot to do with diet. You see, the horned owl that you talked about, that's a predator species, and so they consume other animals, essentially flesh, and through nasal feces and flesh, they can do it. Where songbirds, they tend to stay with the berries in the trees and things like that.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Anyway, something to follow, and both the Division of Wildlife Resources has information on it. So, too, does the CDC website. And on the heels of just talking birds, I know you guys have both, I sent you information on this, but when we recorded the show last Thursday, we still had hopes up for our friend Billy Fenimore, who had been struck just mysteriously with some symptoms of having a hard time remembering certain things. This was within the last month and had lots of testing done. They diagnosed him as having, and I hope I get this right, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Which is a terrible, fast-moving, degenerative brain disease. And he passed away a week ago.
Wow.
Which is hard to fathom at 51 years old. But we
went through his father's death and now his death.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
We know the family is really suffering, and it happened so quickly you don't really have time to digest what it means for the future, but there is and was a GoFundMe set up for his family, and many people have made donations. I think they were asking for $3,000 just to help with funeral expenses, and the last time I looked, it was over $13,000, which is a testament to how many people love this guy and his contribution to the community and his passion for all things feathered. And, it's a big loss for us, too, not just
right.
as a friend, but as a resource. Whenever we would talk something, I'm sure we would have had him on this week to talk about the avian flu.
So, he was special when we go out to, wild about birds, and he was passionate, and it was fun just to feel how intense he was about birds.
And that wildlife center out there at Farmington Bay, just tough stuff. We'll miss him. We'll take a break. We'll come back after we get your news on the half hour. We will be checking in with Roger Egg at a Bear River Lodge, and the Navi's back with your fish bites next.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.